Let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and then find the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of the page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on that page. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher with Father John Wargle today in the studio.
Howdy.
Welcome back. We are going to talk today about another verse in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to sort of look in detail at the two trees in
That's
the garden.
Right.
Man, I was telling you before, when I read this or when I have read this so many times before, I thought to myself, well, when I read your letter,
right,
your post on ancienthopes.org, I thought to myself, who in the world spends time looking at in detail about the two trees? I must have read this 50 times, and I never spent any time. But this was good for me to take a look at.
Well, great. Yeah. To the ancients, trees were mysterious, okay? And all our ancestors, not too far back, were tree worshipers. no matter where you are.
True, yeah.
where you come from, they were tree worshipers, okay?
Tree huggers, we'd say today.
Right. So sacred groves, good heavens, that's at the heart of paganism, but it's also the heart of true worship.
Mm.
As we will say time and time again, there's a bright side and a dark side to every image, right?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And so what we have in the middle of the garden are two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so trees were associated with worship in the scriptures, even in Abraham's time.
So the ancients would have looked at these not just two trees. They would have been very meaningful to them in these words.
Right.
Much more than to me, unfortunately.
Well, Abraham, when he worshiped God, he planted a grove in Beersheba, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. Okay. He didn't have to plant the grove if it wasn't important. You see, there's a connection between the grove and worship, right?
Right, yeah.
And they didn't build temples back in the old day. As far as the Hebrews are concerned, they worshiped at the very beginnings in sacred groves, the patriarchs.
Okay, gotcha.
Right? So sacred space, sacred groves.
Okay.
That's how it is. And so Eden was a sacred grove. And then you've got the two trees. So which one do you want to talk about first, Danny?
Let's talk about good and evil.
Yeah. Okay. In the Hebrew way of thinking, good and evil is a merism.
Right. I remember, and I actually looked this up and looked at it more. So it's where you use two words that are kind of opposites of each other, but what it really means is everything in between. So it's just a kind of a look at two different things that are opposites, but it really is encompassing everything
in between, in general. Yeah, two extremes, the good and the bad, and everything in between. It's like heaven and earth. There are other merisms like that, okay, good and evil. And so it's looked upon as a tree of all knowledge. Now, of course, they had no idea what evil was, right?
Right, sure, yeah.
And the text doesn't really tell us anything about the origin of evil. But as we know in other scriptures, what we know here is that God created the heavens and the earth, and the heavens is a spiritual realm with all the angels and everything.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can't understand humanity without angels, because they're the spiritual realm with the angels and the earth are made together. So if we go to other places in scriptures, like Isaiah chapter 14, verses 4 through 21, and if we go to Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19, these are oracle against the nations. And on a surface level, they're talking about the fall of the king of Tyre, okay? Or the king of Babylon.
Okay.
But it's written in such huge cosmic dimensions, and it refers deeply into these old motifs of the garden.
Okay.
That we must believe, we see that there is a fall in heaven that precipitated the fall on earth. And the fall of heaven were the fall of angels.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I like Tolkien. Do you, you like Tolkien, yep. right?
Oh, yeah.
I remember trying to get through the Silmarillion. I don't know if you've read through the whole thing or not, but
nope.
I plowed through. I can't, you know, it does give you a sense of ages. Okay, this, you know, ages. But what was really interesting is that at the beginning, Tolkien sees creation as a cosmic dance and song moving in complete and total harmony, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then Satan, Lucifer, started to go off on his own tune, okay?
Right, yeah.
Until it became very discordant, you know, kind of like Led Zeppelin or something, okay?
Oh, don't say that. All the Led Zeppelin fans will be sad. I could pick out some other bands, but okay, gotcha.
Okay. You get the idea.
I get the idea, yeah. So he was dancing outside, not with everyone else.
And that is an act of the will, and it's also an act saying, I'm going to be God, I'm going to create my own thing,
yes,
right?
Yes, right, sure.
And so evil did exist. Adam and Eve, as far as this narrative is concerned, didn't know what it was, but there was something afoot in a spiritual realm, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's at the very midst of the garden. So it would be the most mysterious part of the garden, in the heart of it, right? Again, the garden's sacred space, and it's in the middle of the garden, okay?
Right, so, but God kind of made it a mysterious place to me when I read.
Right.
Because God said, everything is good. You can go anywhere.
Right.
You can eat anything except that one thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, Danny, since God made this tree, it's a good tree.
Yes, I got that. Yeah, and from reading your post, and I would suggest everyone do that. You know, read the post, because that really is very helpful.
Right. God wouldn't make something evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he did create this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve were... Again, they're made naked and not ashamed, which we've talked about this before.
Yes.
It shows that they were not complete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Something was missing.
Something was missing. And in this tree in the middle of the garden would have been, in their eyes, this could be what is making me incomplete, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, sure. Yeah.
So they had to obey God in an unexplained command, and to go against God's will is to become autonomous. And it was that autonomous choice that is evil. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That
and
makes
the
sense.
Assumption is, since God made the tree and it's there, that would be for them eventually. And the church fathers say that too.
Right. So they would have realized in their lives as they continued in the garden that they were missing something. And so that tree may have been allowed for them to
if they were obedient.
Yes,
right.
Gotcha,
but they weren't
They blew it.
Right. So again, evil is not explained here, but elsewhere in these prophets that I mentioned before, the king of Tyre and the king of Babylon, they take on this Lucifer satanic thing, as the prophets describe the fall of the nations in terms of the fall of Lucifer.
Ah, okay.
From heaven, falling from heaven to Sheol, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we have, therefore, a choice. If that's all that God did was make this tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden, and that's all there was, that would be, it just wouldn't be, I don't know. What do you think, Danny?
It would be problematic. I mean, it wouldn't fit, know, with the whole rest of the whole rest of the story.
It's kind of like, this is cruel.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
What God is trying to elicit from them is an obedient heart.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Worgel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website, and then select the Deep Dive into Scripture link at the top of that page. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
if that's all that God did was make this tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden, and that's all there was, that would be, it just wouldn't be, I don't know. What do you think, Danny?
It would be problematic. I mean, it wouldn't fit, know, with the whole rest of the whole rest of the story.
It's kind of like, this is cruel.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
What God is trying to elicit from them is an obedient heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where's your heart? Are you going to choose relationship, or are you going to choose raw knowledge and power?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that kind of came out in the post that you wrote, is that, I didn't even ever think of this, but it seems like worshiping God and being in relationship, full relationship with God, God wanted that to be full relationship if he could rely on humanity.
That's
to
right.
Just obey, to be obedient to his rules and laws.
Right. I mean, look at our culture. Obey is the new four-letter word.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
Parents are not taught to have their kids be obedient, right?
Yeah,
the kids express themselves, find themselves at 5, 6, 7 years old when they don't have any way of knowing what direction is up or down, and treat them like adults and stuff like that. I mean, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kids have to learn obedience.
Yeah.
Or they have to know boundaries, because without boundaries, it's hell.
Right. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Chaos.
And so this is a moral boundary in the middle of the garden.
Okay.
Now, again, he planted the tree of life. And the tree of life, in my mind, given the curiosity of Adam and Eve, in a realm full of curiosities, they were allowed to partake of everything. The assumption is, of course, that they would have taken from the tree of life.
Sure. They were allowed to do it. So
yeah, they were allowed to do it. And so that's what you have to almost assume. And that their life, their eternal life, was connected with partaking of this fruit of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, I believe, and I think the church fathers tend in this way as well, that it was understood sacramentally.
Right. So the tree as a sacrament, so that the
right.
fruit as a sacrament, just like we have sacraments, the church gives us sacraments.
Exactly.
And God, through those, gives us grace and life.
Right. Yeah. So it's not a magical tree.
Yes.
Okay? It's like if they would take it, boom. They're in, and there's nothing anybody, even God, can do about it, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's something that they would have partaken.
Mm-hmm.
So Danny, in Genesis 3, verse 22,
okay,
after they fell, they were exiled, and the exile is specifically about the tree of life.
Oh, okay. So it kept them from eating from the tree of life.
That's exactly it.
Ah.
Lest they partake and live forever. Okay. What the caution here, and what God is concerned about, is that in this fallen state, that they would continue eating this sacrament and live in a death-like existence.
Ah, okay. So live in sin, but still be able to...
Right.
Ah,
yeah. And
okay.
So, a lot of people say, well, I wish I could live forever in the state that they're in. Well, Danny, that would be hell.
Yes, right. Of course.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, right. Because there's the problem of sin, and sin is the problem of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a direct link between sin and death. Because God said, if you take of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die.
Yes,
now,
right.
Did we talk about what death meant?
No, I don't think so.
It doesn't mean a cessation of existence. What it means is a diminished existence.
Okay.
So when they partook of this tree, they knew something changed.
We'll
talk about that more when we talk about the fall.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a death-like existence until the body actually, falls to pieces. It's from dust you are, from dust you return. Right,
mm-hmm.
right. But even then, that's not the end, because there's this place called Sheol in the cosmology of ancient scripture, which is the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And so people live on, but in a wispy existence. And it's not something we look forward to. Okay.
Right.
At this time, there's no real understanding of heaven, but death is not a cessation of existence, but a diminished. That's because we were created with the divine breath. Okay. We're made mm-hmm. in the image of God. And
right. And so when you say that, is the diminished state, is it realizing you're separated from God?
Yeah. Separated from God. And we'll go into this really deeply. Separating from man and wife, separating from God, separated from nature.
Okay.
We're isolated. Okay. And we're in conflict with one another and everyone. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's the fruit of disobedience became an autonomous. Okay. If I'm an autonomous person to myself, everybody's an autonomous being, then of course we're going to be beating heads together. And that's
right. Again, chaos.
That's a description of our culture, because autonomy has been elevated by Immanuel Kant, as the essence of human freedom. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
So how do you put it all together? We don't, you know, it's like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall here. He's cracked and in a lot of pieces. Who can put it together again? That's the question, right? So let's see here. Did we cover everything here about the tree? Okay, so we have the two trees, and we have to believe that by waiting patiently, Danny, in obedience, that God would have allowed them to partake of this tree. Not only that, but that this tree is essential to who they are and to what they should become.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is really I think in the Easter Vigil, they call it the fall. Oh, what a glory. What's the word for that, Danny? Do you know what I'm talking about? But in the liturgy, I think of Easter Vigil, they call it the, I wish I was better at this. Sort of a
podcast.
Oh, what fortunate fall or something
okay.
like that.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like it's counterintuitive,
mm-hmm.
but it was in the fall that we find out the graces. We find out who we are in our struggle with good, between good and evil from the fruit of the tree. We can grow into a knowledge of who God is, who we are. And then, of course, none of this would happen unless there's Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yep.
And these two trees are there on the cross. I mean, Jesus brings both of these trees together in the cross.
Right.
The tree of life. It's a tree of life for us, but for Jesus, it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
The cross of disobedience and sin. He takes upon himself all the sin of the world upon himself here. Mm-hmm. So the two trees and the cross, isn't this splendid, Danny? I mean, just think about the richness of the symbolism.
Yeah. And again, at the beginning, I said I had never thought about these two trees in this way before. I just thought, two trees. Okay, move on.
Right. You know?
But there's a lot here, a lot of depth.
Right. So, Danny, there we have it. We have the two trees in the midst of the garden. They are understood to be together, and that's important because what it does, it presents a choice
mm-hmm.
and essential to the worship of God, essential to a relationship with God or anybody else for that matter, is the ability to make a real choice.
Yes, free will. Free choice.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important, Danny. Otherwise, God would have created a garden, right? Mm-hmm. Without the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve would never be able to grow and understand by making choices, either good or bad. And it would be kind of like God playing with a giant dollhouse, like a little girl does,
yes.
moving
the pieces
the
around.
Pieces around and pretending. But God is not into pretending.
Right.
In fact, God is in taking risk, and he knows the heaviness, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the heaviness of this choice.
Yeah.
Think about it, Danny. Think about the implications,
mm-hmm.
all the suffering, the pain over the ages, and yet Jesus, or God, is willing to take that risk for something beyond that's going to be glorious.
Good. Okay. Wow. Good way to end. Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks
God bless
so much.
You. Bye.
We'll see you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Deep Dive into Scripture link on that page for related text. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.